Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Guys, I got a bag of gold and it's just burning a hole in my pocket.
I know, there's so many things they set up the display in the window and it looks so great and I want all the stuff.
I could give you that 10% discount that you've heard.
Well, really? I rolled so low.
I don't care how low you roll.
Okay, so I would like the scroll of color spray.
Oh, excellent scroll.
And also the one of Eldritch Blast.
Ooh, dangerous.
So I've got this beautiful amulet, and then I've also got this scroll of detect thoughts.
What are you gonna use that for, Glim?
Well, you know, if we have to, like, interrogate a bad guy, or, like, we're on the road and somebody drinks my special organic oat milk.
I mean, I've noticed that it does go missing for you quite often.
It wasn't me. You know.
So he puts his three items up on the counter. There's the notebook of holding. There's the 10 stickers.
Oh, you got them.
And the scroll of hellish rebuke.
Those Bahamut posters.
Oh, you were right. I knew it. I knew that's
so
what you
good.
Were looking at.
And then I thought,
just, aroma, so stunning.
Aromas like us, like, where am I going to put that up? It's not like I got a bedroom wall or anything, but I got some
exactly.
good ideas when I finally do settle down.
Well, and now, like, as you drift off to sleep at night, you can just, like, picture each of those amazing images and kind of, like, go through the clicky clacker in your brain. You know, just like
so
thinking
good.
Through each of them as you drift off to sleep. That's what I do.
Absolutely.
And the three of our heroes dream about Bahamut as we fade out on this episode.
The weirdest wet dream I ever had.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Carla Maxted.
She, her. I am playing Nerixis Acra, better known as Glim, who is also she, her, and a dragonborn paladin.
And Amy Moore.
She, her. And I play Sullivan Slight, also known as Sully. He, him. And he is a Lightfoot halfling rogue.
And Tom Laird.
He, him. And I'm playing Moot, who also goes by he, him. And he is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
How's everybody doing?
Good. We went
big
shopping
episode.
Nice to go shopping finally.
I'm exhausted still from that shopping.
Little retail therapy always feels good.
I said last week, but that's 2 weeks ago. Yeah. All these timelines are messing me up. Shopping episodes, darkest timelines.
I know.
What's
so much
happening?
Is happening. Time jumps,
Whose
shopping.
Whose fault is that, Russ?
That's mine. Full stop mine. And I'm okay with it. Where I'm okay with a lot of other decisions is some of our goals over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when we hit 100 patrons, we're going to do something really special. Super special.
What is it?
Tom and Amy and Carla are going to DM a game for me.
Well, it just sounds like more work for us.
Finally!
We're going to take turns DMing a game where Russ plays the two main characters, one of which being everyone's favorite pirate goblin, Flammikins.
That's me!
And the other being everyone's
least favorite pancake chef? Most favorite pancake chef?
Oh, go fuck yourself!
I'm sorry, was that Grancis saying, oh, go fuck yourself?
That was Grancis, yes.
I don't think those words would come out of his
mouth. I don't think so either.
Look,
he's been spending too much time with Flammikins.
Grancis has been spending a lot of time down in the abyss there. Oh boy! It's a dark timeline down there. Darker than what fucking Flint and Thea and fuck.
Oh boy.
Whoa. Wow.
So right. I am a little
I'm here for this thing. Version about of Grancis.
You know, you're
potty mouth Grancis we can expect if we hit that 100 patrons.
Grancis might be like a yeah, Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood kind of feel to him now wow. coming up. Yeah.
Is he too old for this shit?
Maybe he's Danny Glover too.
Maybe he's Danny Glover.
Yeah. He's Danny Glover.
Yeah, he's 1 week from retirement.
Oh, damn.
Maybe. I don't know.
This yeah. week goes on forever, though, because it is the abyss.
But join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Dixie Lovely. Oh,
Dixie Lovely.
Dixie? Thank you, Dixie.
You're so
we
lovely.
Always say, like, oh, the funnest names. Lovely.
Like, lovely.
Oh, that fills my heart. That makes me happy. That's a good name.
Thanks, Thank Dixie.
You, Dixie. Thanks, Dixie.
Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, fuck it, let's play! Glim, it's been pretty quiet on most fronts. Specifically, the Destiny front. Since you've arrived in Jorath Thamar, you pledged your oath, you made contact with Bahamut in some way, shape, or form. But not much has happened for you since. It's been relaxing, could be a word that you could describe. I'm not going to say how that makes you feel, but you're currently out for a stroll with Ekif, taking in the beautiful day that it is, pondering life and what comes next.
It's just, you know, when you're looking forward to something for so long, and then you do it, and it's wonderful, and it's like everything you ever could have dreamed, and then you can kind of just like, just really sit in that for a while, and then you're kind of just ready, like, what's the next thing? Like, I have this destiny to save the world, and I feel like Bahamut gave me like two thumbs up, and we're good, and I'm ready, and now, like, I told my friends, the new next adventure would present itself and, you know, it would be obvious, but I don't really know what to do. Like, it's really nice here, but I guess I'm a goal-oriented person, you know, like I train physically and I try and train Bahamut. Now I need a task.
Right. Well, yes, we've talked at length about the tasks you require. You've cleaned so well. You've organized all of the book.
I mean, it was a bit dusty in there and it just like, it looks, yes. I don't want to brag or anything, but it looks, you know, like it seems like a more used temple now. And I mean, it is by me, but yeah. You know, like some others might come. I left those pamphlets at the Zed Mart. So I am assuming at any point more people are going to
definitely had some interest, which is new. It's not that the turnout has ever been poor, but Bahamut themselves are one who doesn't tend to draw too much attention. Not to say that you're doing anything wrong. I hear it now as I say it, that this is what you have been doing. You've been trying to draw attention to Bahamut, which gratefully appreciated.
He's just normally like a more chill kind of dude.
He's a chill dude.
Yeah.
Chill dude. Real sit back and relax. Just let things be. And when opportunity presents itself, then it's time to act. As we have discussed many times since you've arrived, the book, it had nothing beyond. Until you pledged your oath and then new writings appeared, which you still say you did not write.
No.
Right?
No, I mean, I wasn't in there like totally swearing an oath and just like writing. I mean,
scribbling.
I wouldn't do that.
A religious text.
I mean, I showed
yes,
you those writing samples too. So you like know for sure. I know that you believe me, but like just for
yes,
my own
course.
Peace of mind, I wanted to prove like. That wasn't me.
No, of course, Glim. I totally... You know what? Let's enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spend some time talking about perhaps something other than your destiny.
Yeah, like, what are you into? You know what? I'm so rude. I can't even... I get
no,
so focused on
fine.
My own stuff. But, like, Ekif, what's your story?
Beadwork.
Really? Like necklaces, yes. Or like on clothing, yes. Or?
Clothing, tapestries.
Wow.
I like to weave wool and bead to create intricate designs and
wow, I'd love to see images. Some of that.
Oh, well, I do have some.
Are you selling it in the market or just like for your own fun?
No, I donate them.
Oh.
For charity work, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They do tend to fetch quite high prices for the charities who put them up. So I guess that in and of itself, raising money for children and the needy and the starving individuals has been a little artsy calling
yeah.
Of mine, I guess you could say.
Wow.
I do have I could show you some of them throughout. Throughout Jorad Thamar, I'm working on one right now. It's of Bahamut's canaries.
Right. Wow. Yes. I would be honored if you would show me some of your work. I don't know that many artists.
Let's go take a look. And after the day, maybe we'll go take another look through the book, and just see if we miss something the last 75 times we've been through it.
Okay, sounds great.
The two of you walk off back to go peruse some of Ekif's artwork throughout Jorad Thamar. As you're walking through the merchant's floor, you pass by a new buffet, and you don't pay too much attention to it, but the camera stops, and inside is Moot. He is one of the first people to sample this new buffet. The sign, which is lit up with brilliant color, lights and fireworks went off for the grand opening. Moot was invited because of his excellent reviews of all of these buffets. And he was invited personally by Sir Schlops.
Delicious.
Sounds appetizing.
I hope that's not the name of the restaurant. Is it? Or is that the owner?
I'm going to need you to spell out Schlops for me, Russ.
S-C-H-L-O-P-S. I want to know if I'm right.
S-H-L-O-P-S. Mm-hmm. Schlops.
Delicious. It's kind of onomatopoeic.
Yep. Sir Schlops comes out to your table.
Sir Schlops.
And he comes up to you and he says, so is everything to your liking so far? I see that you're sampling the blubber baked barnacles. They are what I was most excited about.
At first, I was not intrigued by them when I read the placard in front of the dish. I will be honest with you. But
yes.
After trying them, they are much better than I thought they would be.
Oh, good. Good to hear. I can't. That is from you. That is quite the review. You are a hard man to please in the buffet field.
Well, just some of them, you know, you go and then half the dishes that were there last time that you really enjoyed aren't there, or they haven't got enough of them and they go out so fast. And then there's not enough plates because you want to go up a few times. And it's a whole thing. But, you know, you're doing it right here, Sir Schlops.
Oh, thank you so much, Moot. You know, you've sampled most of the things on the table here. You've got the celebratory goat stew for our grand opening.
Delicious.
The goat and quail egg omelet. A little bit of a goat theme going on here. The roasted tarantula. Yeah. What did you think of those?
Very crispy. Very tasty.
Where'd you get goat eggs?
Goat and quail egg is what I said.
Uh-huh. Where'd you get the goat egg?
Goat and quail egg.
Yeah. So like ham and egg.
I'm making a joke.
Amy, I don't know if you understand how omelets work, so let me break it down.
I know you need a lot of eggs, Carla. I'm wondering where the goat eggs came from.
As someone who had omelets daily when he was in Mexico for 2 weeks last year at this time, top notch.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sorry, the roasted tarantula. What did you think of those?
Oh, so crispy. And, you know, I thought the legs would be off-putting, but really just added to the crunch factor. Very tasty.
It was a delicacy I came across. I'm not certain the city name, but they also sold potatoes.
Oh, I've been there.
You have?
I have. Let me just flip through my notebook to find out where that was.
Oh, well, while you do that, I'm just going to run back and get something really quick here.
If only I had a service to transcribe my old notebooks into my new endless notebook. That way the information would be instantly where I wanted it.
Do you not get the joy, though, of rewriting your notes? Were you guys not those students?
No, I hated rewriting my notes. It helped me learn, but I hated it.
Oh, man. Oh, I do it. Them all shitty in class. And yeah. Then I get my good, colorful pens out and I'd make them perfect.
Me too.
Okay.
Well, we're the same person, Carla.
Because we're cool. Right?
That's yeah, right. Totally cool. I'm going to go back and get you something that's off menu here. I'm trying it out. It's the Squeever chili served with a cool glass of Beholstein milk.
What?
Okay. That sounds like a thing that you just said.
You're just going to love it. You're going to love it. I will explain it once I come back. He runs off into the back kitchen.
I'm sorry. Holstein milk?
Beholstein.
Oh, God.
We'll explain it when we come back.
I don't think... Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Sullivan Slight, you didn't quite realize exactly how on edge you've been until you stopped needing to worry about the cult finding you or just being in the general vicinity of cult faces. You've kept watch frequently on the Church of Tiamat, and no one, save for a cleaning crew, really has been coming or going. And mostly the cleaning crew is coming and going because of the things that you keep writing on the door. Being the most carefree you've been in a long time, and having found some perhaps different or new direction, what has Sully been doing with his days?
Because Sully has pretty much been preoccupied with the Cult of the Dragon since forever. And since he doesn't have to look over his shoulder here, I think he's taken those pamphlets and he is going to these. He is going to edumacate himself and learn how to use the staff of the adder. It's a bitchin' looking staff.
It is. It's a delightful looking staff. And it looks like it holds a lot of power. Now, you were handed pamphlets for different schools that you could go, or different people that you could see. One was more of a religious path, taking you down a path of a cleric. Another led you towards a more earthy druid, and the other towards a warlock. Which, on surface, doesn't seem quite as upfront as the other two paths. A little more of a dark flavor to it. It's very the candles are lit that emit a black light as you walk in.
Well, are the Sanderson sisters going to come?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I should know the reference, but I don't.
A virgin lights the black flame candle.
Mm-hmm. From Hocus Pocus?
And summons Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I, yeah.
Thank you. I saw you smile, Carla. That was for you.
Hocus Pocus 2 coming to Disney Plus sometime in the near future.
I know. I'm so torn about it.
We're not talking about it. It's fine.
You brought it up.
So I guess you're looking at those pamphlets. Where does Sully go first? Or where has Sully been? And what is catching his eye?
I think Sully has already been to the clerics.
So who is it that you're devout to?
I'm kind of looking around and just kind of sussing out.
There's a very rotund dwarf in front of you. He's graying. He's got the hair, like the Picard hair, but it's like sticking straight out.
Oh, so it's a little more Danny DeVito?
A little more Danny. Yep. There's a Danny DeVito with a long beard in front of you.
Oh, God.
Hey, who are you devout to?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just kind of like.
You don't know?
Well, who are you devout to?
I devout to Pelor.
Who's that?
Pelor's the god of sun and summer. He's the keeper of time.
Okay, go on.
Okay, he supports those in need, opposes all that is evil, is lord of the agriculture and the bountiful harvest. What more do you need to know? Have
is
I not like, sold you? Bada bing.
Is he like best friends with Bahamut?
Ah, they I'm sure they go get a little coffee here and there. I mean, they have very similar ideologies that come across.
Cool. All right. Well, I already have one of those people who talks to me about Bahamut all the time.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to pass.
Okay. So you're looking for more of a general opposite. You're looking for like a god of something not good, like a god of pain, like a god of like war.
No, I'm not. I think I'm just not looking for a god at all.
Oh, well, what do you do? Okay, well, how can I convince you?
Sully starts to slowly
back out. It looks like you're trying to work a few
the...
different angles here. What?
No, man, I'm just looking
to
learn.
We can throw in 50 gold in a party.
What? Are you bribing me to join your cult?
Pelor wouldn't do that.
This is weird. I'm leaving.
But I might.
Bye. He scurries out of there. It's like, too much
DeVito
God.
Energy was too much.
The DeVito energy was way too much for me. I think he wants to go next to the druid.
You enter into... Actually, you have to leave the main pyramid. You have to go into the forest.
Oh.
And you enter...
Nope, Sully doesn't want to do it. Sully goes...
You don't even want to get a description of it?
No.
Nope. Okay.
I don't think Sully would leave the pyramid and go into a forest by himself.
Okay.
He gets kidnapped in forests.
And in towns. And
you know what? In large public spaces, it feels pretty safe. Going out there in the wide, wide world just ain't gonna do it. So he's going to go to the warlock because he's too scared to go into the forest.
Okay.
By himself.
The door opens and there is a woman. She's, how tall is Sully?
5 Nope.
No.
That's how tall Amy is. 3'5"
Okay.
So wee.
You enter, and like I said, it's a dark office. And there's paintings on the walls, not of anything in particular, just like abstract art is what it looks like. Just surface value. That's what it kind of looks like. And there's like glowing paints that you see. Kind of spread all around.
Is there a black light in here somewhere?
Yeah, there's black candles lit. I've already said that part.
Oh, so
we skipped around. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's black candles lit that illuminate some of the iridescent paintings.
Is there anyone raving in the corner?
There's nobody immediately as you walk in. Okay. Stepping out from a back room is an older woman. She's only probably about a foot and a half taller than you are. She's very... very slim. She has like red and yellow clothing. There's almost like this gray, you could confuse it for smoke, but it's like wisp around like her figure. And she says, yes, can I help you, sir?
Oh, sir. yeah, my name is Sullivan Slight. And you are?
Andresa.
It's very nice to make your acquaintance. I am searching for a kind of a mentor a little bit to help me with some learning.
Oh, okay. And you've come here because you are called by unknown voices?
What? No.
You have an affinity for magic.
Well, I wouldn't say it's an affinity, kind of like, and he pulls out from behind him the staff and was like, well, I got this stick. Okay, I just since we just said Sully's height, I'm wondering, is the staff on his back always like 4 feet above his head?
Yeah, oh, it's, no, massive. It's massive. Yeah.
How did I steal this?
No one knows, but you said you did, and Victoria didn't dispute it.
She didn't dispute it. Ah, Victoria, beautiful person. Let me get away with shit. Okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, yeah, I got the staff of the Adder.
Might I see it while you explain?
Sure, yeah. No funny business now.
Of course. Do you know what it can do?
Got one of those stickers on there, so it's fine.
That's right. It put a sticker on there. Oh, no, wait.
If you put a sticker on it, would it automatically hurt her? I was just thinking if she, like, tried to swipe it, but never mind.
Well, no, it is only swiping stuff, isn't it? If not, I if give you hand something that them. Has a sticker.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, okay, well, there's a sticker on the very bottom.
She did she did succeed the check, though, so she's...
Oh, okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah, no funny business, though, because I have no idea what this thing does. I would really love to learn about it, though.
She taps it on the ground, and suddenly the head is a black snake that is identical to the head of the carved snake that you saw previously, and it, like, jumps out at you.
Oh, Sullivan, like, jumps back and falls on his ass and then does, like a crab walk backwards. Jesus, you warn a guy first.
You look back and it, like, moves to her and then moves back into position and then locks back into place as a wooden staff.
That's terrifying.
This is a very powerful piece of equipment you have.
I now see that. What a weird gift for someone to give me.
And you say you wish to control it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, otherwise I just have a giant stick I'm hitting people with. It's just,
Do you find yourself constantly in search of the answers to secrets? Looking deeper into unknown.
Like how I don't know how to use this staff?
That could be.
Are we thinking there might not be a deeper level to something?
It's very surface level.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, you constantly are searching for the knowledge of what makes our world turn.
Well, that's a real big question. I don't think you get anything done in your day if you thought about that all the time.
Have you thought about what is beyond what we can comprehend?
You know what? There's a lot I don't comprehend sometimes, so...
You seem like a clean slate.
You know what? That's probably the nicest way someone's ever put it.
If you wish to control this staff, Sully it was, yes?
Yes.
We do have an opening.
An opening for a student specifically learn about this staff or to search for all the mysteries in the world.
Well, one is hand in hand with the other.
Oh, gosh. You must learn. Big responsibility.
You must learn how to harness magic. You can't just create. And she snaps the staff on the ground again and the snake comes back. It doesn't jump out at you or anything. It just begins to move. What do you wish to gain from this?
I would like to use it in battle.
Okay. I can do that for you.
I feel like, though, that you're asking for a lot more because it's not just going to be like...
Where does your training lie? You seem like someone who knows something about the world. You seem like someone who has certain level of knowledge. I see behind your eyes there is a wanting for knowledge, an escape from fear.
Well, I mean, doesn't everybody want to escape from the fears?
Maybe. Not everybody walks through these doors, though.
Well, I see. I got this pamphlet here.
Mm.
So.
Of course.
Just, you know, this seems real, like... religious too, like Do you like follow any specific kind of god?
Not in and of itself, no. Power comes from beings or places beyond our comprehension. Those aren't necessarily gods, though.
It's like so heavy for Sully right now. I'm debating between going to the dark side and being like, okay, thanks. You really gave me something to think about. Taking the staff back, bringing it over to Zed Martin, being like,
give me 20 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the dude at Zed Mart will want to swap you for something straight up.
If you want to think on it, we can come back.
Yeah, let's come back. Sully's in a quandary. He doesn't know what to do.
Welcome to the middle. This is the place where all the things are told.
Oh, it's getting kind of spooky in here.
Yeah, it's a real, like, Ghost of Christmas Present vibe going on here.
Right? Yeah, foretold 7 years ago.
And now,
Ghost of Abraham Lincoln?
I'm not sure what's happening now.
Bump, bump, bump,
bump, bump. Just yep. Immediately.
Just immediately Axel Foley.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Hey. We have friends.
We do.
Yeah.
And we want you to go listen to them because they put on really amazing shows as well. One of those shows is from a good dear friend of ours, Travis Vengroff and Caitlin Statz.
Who we met.
Yes.
In person.
And played a game
back
with.
Back when you could meet people in person.
Yeah, back in the olden times.
For PodCon?
Yeah, that was so fun.
It was great.
It was a time. Loved it. Travis and his lovely wife, Caitlin, make this show called Dark Dice, among others. But Dark Dice is a highly edited Dungeons & Dragons actual play audio drama. And he takes a lot of time making sure that the soundscape is just perfect. Not just me blowing into a microphone. And it edits down the combat section so it's succinct and action-filled and climactic. And it's dark. Like, it's scary.
Not a show for Carla.
No, I can't even listen because it's too scary. I'm sure it's very good, though. I've heard nothing but good things. I know someone who's on that show.
Who?
Really? Who?
His name is Russ Moore. He is
great. Oh, I've heard of him.
That loser? Oh, God.
I will not have you saying anything bad about Russ Moore.
Do not disparage our friend Russ Moore.
Hey, this is the one time it's going in my favor. All right. Yes. season 2. So they just wrapped season 1. Season 2, I'm a part of it. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. Probably not.
What is just that?
Have I already let the cat out of the bag? Maybe that's too much already, but...
I play character, beep, and then we get into crazy, beep, and you're not going to believe what happens when we get to beep.
So look forward to that in season 2, but catch up on season 1 before that happens.
Do that.
Ooh, good call.
And then before or after you listen to that, come join us in the Reckless Play Guild over on Facebook. Our link is down in the description. It's our Facebook group over there that we share with Dark Dice, The Lucky Die, The End of Time, and Other Bothers. And it's a great community where you can share and talk about the shows. And we'd love to see you over there after you listen to Dark Dice or before.
Or at the same time. Multitask.
Ooh.
Do it. Phones are magic. They can do all these things at once.
It's true.
I didn't mean to explain how phones work to you. I'm sorry. We're, let you back to the episode there.
There goes Russ phone-splaining again.
Yeah. You know me. Big phone-splainer. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Moot. Sir Schlops comes back out with the dish that he...
Now, it's... His name is Sir Schlops, not the restaurant is, and he is not Sir Schlop, and then it's an apostrophe S, but he is Sir Schlops.
He is Sir Schlops. The restaurant is Sir Schlops with an apostrophe after.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sir Schlops is.
Yep. There's no extra S, but yes.
Yep.
He says, this is the Squeaver chili served with a cool glass of Beholstein milk. Have you had such a thing?
Now, I've had milk before. But usually cow, sometimes almond, What exactly is this milk again?
Well, it's the Beholstein milk. It's a truly a special prize of dairy farms across the realms, as its back half is separated from the useful bit, so fertilizer can go directly where it needs to.
Walk me through this again.
The Beholstein is truly a special prize of dairy farms across the realm, as its back half is separated from the useful bits. So,
well, I didn't just mean again with the same info. I meant, you know, some more info about it.
Oh, well, this is what they told me at Cook Culinary School. It's supposed to be, it's very tasty.
Okay,
it's milk.
I'll give it a shot.
Please do. The squeever. You didn't even ask about the squeever.
That wasn't the concerning part of the dish.
Okay.
I think it should be.
No, it's fine.
Sure.
I give it a try.
You taste it. Let's roll something that
sure.
We haven't rolled for taste before.
For Flavor Town.
For Flavor
roll
Town.
Roll for Flavor Town.
What are we thinking? The way you like something is not going to be perception. It's going to be fall under
personal.
Like insight. Or it could be, I guess, just
survival.
It could be survival. It could be like
like persuasion.
Well, you want, yeah, it could be persuasion.
Based on how the flavors come. I said
if
flavors.
If you're the chef in Ratatouille, or not the chef, the critic in Ratatouille, then you roll for history.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's quite specific.
Yeah.
Am I the critic from Ratatouille?
Are you? That's a personal question only you can answer.
We haven't clarified
Fair.
That yet. Yeah. It hasn't come up.
Yeah. I think I am.
All right. Well, whatever we decide here, it's either, I think, what did we say? Persuasion or history?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's go persuasion. I'm good with that.
Then anytime we need to check Flavor Town, we're going to go persuasion for future roles.
Okay. I love it.
12 for persuasion.
It's an okay, not great. It feels like it's a dish that has a lot of potential. It's like one of those dishes that it like either grows on you or it's one that you just like instantly. It's not one that's bad, but it's one that...
I think this one's a grower instead of a shower.
Exactly. The Beholstein.
Sir Schlops, it's I think you're on the right track here, but I think it just needs a little fine tuning in the long run.
Oh yes, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I don't really know if the milk goes with it too well, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yes,
and
I was concerned about that when the salesman gave me the description of it. He really sold it up. The back half separated from its useful bits, fertilizer goes directly where it's just a song and dance that just swept me away.
Sure, and I get that. A confusing song and dance. Yeah, I understand. I think just a little longer with the braising time and not the milk. Get rid of the milk.
Well, the squeever is a tough meat. So yes, I could see that, and then remove the milk, bring something different in. Perhaps not dairy. But perhaps some acidity. Perhaps something there's a little bit of just a little bite to it might cut through a little bit more.
Could do.
Well, please help yourself to anything else you desire. We're going to be letting in the general public now. If you hopefully you've enjoyed most parts. This one, of course, not a regular menu item. You're free to mention it if you desire in your review. But I look forward to seeing what you write for us.
I look forward to seeing what I write for you, too. It's always nice to go home and, like, think about this for a little while before you really jot down your thoughts.
Mull over the flavors, the whole experience. I hope the ambiance was quite right for you.
Oh, delightful. I love that everyone eats out of a trough. That is just a delightful twist on the buffet.
I thought that, you know, why with the formalities of plates and cutlery? Just go straight to it.
Exactly.
The useful bits are separated so that the fertilizer is closer to where it needs. I can't even remember what it was supposed to be, but it's just all together.
I just feel like it really works with the merch that you're selling, with the schlopping it up. I think it's perfect.
you've really tapped into the essence of Sir Schlops. I'm going to think about this. I look forward to a review. Have a good day. Of course, the entire thing is covered. We'll see you next time, hopefully.
I would have to think I would be back.
Bring your friends. It'll be great. He clears some of your dishes and walks back into the kitchen.
Moot raids the dessert table on his way out.
Yes, and he just, like, gets a hose and just sprays out the trough.
Everything about this, I had to look up Holstein because at first I was like, I'm pretty sure Holstein.
It's a Bill Holstein, B-E Holstein.
I know, but listen where I'm going with this. This is downtime talk. Remind me.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, you hit up the dessert table. There's a pound cake with sugary lemon drizzle. There's chocolate zucchini cakes coated in powdered sugar and crowned of strawberries. There's a frangipan-style baked custard.
Frangipan.
There's a frangipani-style baked custard that uses flour from exotic faraway seeds.
Moot just helps himself to the lemon meringue pie and just takes the whole thing.
And then you take the whole thing and then you walk by and then you see the yurtenbre. Massive boul of dark rye bread enriched with bone meal, resulting in a beefy, slightly crunchy bread. It catches your eye.
Does it?
I'll be back for you next time, bread.
Bone meal in it? Very hearty.
Right?
Yeah. Helps plants grow.
Yeah, it does. Helps moots grow too, I guess.
Yep. Well, I need all the help I can get after shrinking 6 inches that time.
You might be willing to try some strange, offbeat remedies. Yeah.
The door opens to the Citadel, and Ekif and Glim, you enter. It says, well, that's all the pieces that I've throughout the pyramid. The entire, I think you've seen most of the pyramid today.
You know what? It was... Seeing your work was unbelievable. And then I felt like, yeah, I had this guided tour of all these like fancy offices of people who have all this money and like bought your pieces to as a tax write-off for charity or like, I don't really know how that works, but something.
We don't talk about that.
Something,
but yes.
Something like that. But yeah. Oh my goodness, the one of Tiamat, like, nope, that's a different guy.
Was surprising and upsetting.
Yeah. She was cowering. She was cowering in a corner next to the absolute might of her brother Bahamut.
And then Bahamut over top. And then there's a rainbow and there was a cloud and lightning. And it was just like you could feel the force of the battle, but the beauty of the piece afterwards with the rainbow. And just that you captured that in this like... tapestry beadwork was it. I've never, I mean, I cried. I've never, it was so powerful.
It brings a tear to my eye to hear you describe it in such a beautiful way. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I've forgotten entirely what we're doing here. Oh, the book, right.
We were going to look at the book again and see if it gives, like, I've really been looking for a, like, Glim. Next, you need to, but, you know, we've looked a lot of times and there isn't really anything that clear, maybe. So maybe you could help with like some subtext in the new writing that's appeared.
Yes.
And like that would help point me in my next direction.
Right. Yes. He says, come have a seat. Seat. And he brings the book over and he begins flipping through and says, well, we've been through... Of course, the beginnings of the world and everything. We can skip over some of this because really it's there's not much subtext in creation of things and beings and other deities. And let's get more to the end here. And he flips to the page that you had seen written the inscription, you know, protect your friends, protect your people, save the world, or however it was phrased. And then he flips a couple pages, and again, all blank right to the end there. And then he flips back, and as he's flipping back into some of the text, you catch sight of a new inscription appearing as he's kind of quickly flipping past.
Eskif, wait. I think I saw something in there.
Oh, sorry. He flips back a few pages to the final page of entry, and he's, I think you're right. And by the time he gets back to that page, there's a full inscription there. It is in larger printing than anything preceding it. The first line states, "Saviors missing, realms tearing apart. Seek your start in Hardcastle." Ekif speaks up. "Is Hardcastle isn't... Hardcastle's 300 miles away, give or take. It's not, in the big picture, not as far as you traveled to get here by any stretch. What does that mean, saviors missing? If you're destined to save the world, you're right here. How could that... What could that mean?"
"Well, I mean, I'm probably not the only one."
"Right.
I know that my friends are going to help me, but I didn't think, like, single-handedly. I mean, maybe I did a little bit, like, between you and me, Eska. Like, I did kind of maybe think, like, maybe right. kind of single, not single-handedly, but, like, me and my friends, you know, maybe. But that's probably, that's, I'm probably getting a bit big for my britches there."
"Right, yes. No, yeah. It's good not to get too ahead of ourselves.
Isn't Bahamut amazing? Like, I said I wanted clear instructions.
And here is at least a start.
And now, like, at least we need to go to Hardcastle. Wow. Every day I'm just reminded about his greatness, you know?"
"It's truly amazing. Nothing written until a few weeks ago when you showed up, and then..."
"Now he's, like, sending us messages, basically."
"This appears to be a way that he's speaking with you." He folds up the book, waits a moment to see if anything else appears, but after nothing does, he folds up the book and he kind of props it in his lap and then moves it over to your lap. "I think this is better served with you, especially if you're leaving."
"Do you, but don't you need it for..."
"No.
I mean, it's the book. It's the one book that...
It's the one book. I have read it several times within the past week alone. I have it entirely memorized. I will spend my days transcribing what I know from the first portion, and then hopefully when our paths cross again, I will be able to expand upon it with anything new that has appeared for you."
"Well, wow, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is... You're just filling my heart to bursting, basically."
"You are truly amazing, Glim."
"Well, thanks. Thanks for everything. I know I can be a bit hard to take sometimes."
"Not at all. You have a massive heart."
"Well, I guess I've got to talk to my friends first, but we'll probably head to Hardcastle now that we know where we need to go next. So, hopefully I'll see you again before I go, but if I don't, thanks. Thanks for everything."
"Thank you. Be safe. As the book says, take care of yourself and your friends."
And I'm going to give him a hug and then probably doesn't really want it, but I'm giving it.
He accepts it. And it's a soft pat with one arm.
And I'm going to go tell my friends about stage 2. Of our destiny.
This time it's personal.
We see Ekif walking back into his chamber, which is another room just off the main room, and he comes out with a large blank book. He seats it on the table and he begins writing.
The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.filmmusic.io.
All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Mark Hartless, Jack Green, Stevie, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Derelith, Devin Michaels, Aaron Stevens, and Ray Serback. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Where does some milk come out of their eyeballs? What's happening?
You don't even know what it is.
Okay.
I just had a Holstein.
No, he's talking about, this is like, a fantasy world. Scene.
Okay, we'll find out when he comes back.
Take what you know and throw it away.
I don't know what town we are in. I can't find the notes.
Gerard
Thorne. It was around. No, it was around.
Potatoes.
God, yeah. Where was it potatoes?
It was right before the Rick and Morty episodes.
Yeah, we were doing odd jobs there.
I'll see if I can find it, Tom. Because I'm sure I have potatoes written name. In giant letters.
That's okay.
Well, that's
on.
What I was looking for, too, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Okay, we'll go on to Sully here while you're trying to find that.
Was it previous weekend at Strahd's or after weekend at Strahd's?
After weekend at Strahd's.
Okay.
Really?
That was last Halloween. Like a year ago Halloween.
I don't know. Time, man. What is
Sullivan
time?
Slight.
Tending the night garden. I'm getting closer. Yeah.
Paylor's the god of... Fuck. So close. I think he's the god of light.
It's on the tip of your tongue.
And let's see if I wrote it down.
It's always a fun game to play when you're DM. Let's see if I have it.
Somewhere? Something about bone meal bread? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I have a lot of weird recipes in here, but...
Yeah.
Not the inscription I was looking for.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Congratulations. You've reached the Amelia Project. A new life awaits. If you're not serious about this, hang up. If you continue, there's no way back. Leave your message after the beep.
Enter the offices of the Amelia Project and be ready for surprises, twists, and turns. Follow the Amelia team as they help their clients fake their deaths and come back with new identities. Each episode is different. Each client coming to the death faking agency has a unique story to tell. If death and disappearances, comedy and crime, mystery and magic sounds like your cup of cocoa, The Amelia Project is the podcast for you. Search for The Amelia Project wherever you find your podcasts. And remember, leave your message after the beep.